Happy Father's Day again, like T said. But we have a Heavenly Father that we need to give thanks for every day. I was thinking this morning, I said, all the Father's Day wishes are coming. Have we said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That all comes from our Father. Amen. Great to have an earthly Father, but more than to have a Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking about grace. If you want to go ahead and pull it up there, Brother Anderson. The Hebrew lexicon of grace would be, we know what the prophet said, but let's look at what the Greek lexicon says. Take this candy out, it'll be spitting everywhere. Favor. Now we know that the prophet of God told us, and we see that grace is unmerited, but look at this word favor. Favor comes from favorite. Amen? Favor, favorite. All right? Because he does favor us above the world. He doesn't want to. He wants to favor everybody. But see, they will only the ones that are in him will accept the grace that he's given, which is charm, favor, elegance. Because we were talking about last Sunday, there is a word called graceful. Now see, to me, the bride of Jesus Christ is graceful. We walk because that, you know, you say this person walks with a graceful gait. Well, same thing with a Christian. The world walks with a different one. They walk with one you can't watch. Amen. That's their charm and elegance, and that's the world. But now with God, see, I like this word right here, acceptance.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. We are accepted in him, or we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. All right, let's go to the definition of grace in the Webster's Dictionary. It tells us it's unmerited divine assistance.
Right.
Now, as we were talking about last Sunday, grace was not developed by man. Grace only comes from God.
Right.
Satan has no grace. We have a limited amount of grace. We have a lot more condemnation because that's just the way we are. But God gives us unmerited and shows unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. So you have to have grace to get the new birth. Grace has to be extended. And then grace has to keep being extended every day of our life.
Right.
All right. So we're going to see here in just a little bit how that works. So it's a virtue. Look. Coming from God, not coming from man.
Right.
A state of sanctification enjoyed through divine. You see that word divine? Only God is divine.
Right.
So it's coming from God. It's God's assistance. It's unmerited godly assistance given to humans. A state of sanctification enjoyed through godly assistance, or I like this one right here, approval.
Yeah.
All right. That word approval. Because let's go to Genesis 6, verse 8. We're just going to read through Scripture and not read any quotes at the moment. But Noah found grace. This is the first time you're going to see the word grace as in favor. Now, you're going to see grace, as we said before. There is one where you say, well, if I found grace humanly, not to God, if I found grace in your sight, or give me grace to tell you this story. There's plenty of words of grace in there, but this one is the first one that says, the Hebrew lexicon 2580, that Noah found grace in the eyes. What'd he find? Favor.
Right.
He found acceptance in the eyes of the Lord. Go to Exodus 33, verse 13. It says, therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. Now who is this? This is Moses. Show now me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. In other words, he approved of what Moses was doing. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence, Moses said. Because Moses knew if the presence of God didn't take him, he couldn't take him. For within shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Because remember now, grace is unmerited divine assistance. Unmerited. He knew those 2,000 or 2 million Jews were not going to make it to the promised land. But he gave them grace, or a time to repent, poured out grace unmerited, knowing they would do wrong. Same way with me and you. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated. All right, separated. I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So in other words, Moses is praying. Now look at verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. In other words, Moses and Hattie Wright said the right thing.
Right.
He's telling Moses, you've said the right thing. Hattie Wright said the right thing and found grace in the eyes of God by saying the right thing. All right? And I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And that's what he asked about, was to show me who you are. Now let's go to Ruth 2 verse 8. We can have Sunday service now, Terrence. Afternoon service. Preacher's here. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And we talked about this last Sunday. We're talking about grace. This is grace part two. Because Boaz didn't know Ruth that well. He knew Naomi was kinfolk to him, but now Ruth was not kin. She was a Moabitess. She was a Gentile.
Right.
But Boaz, typing Christ, because look what he says. Let thine eyes be on the field that thou do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Now he's never met this girl before. And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drunk. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Remember, grace is what? Unmerited favor or approval. All right. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thy eyes? Have you ever asked God that?
Right.
I have several times. Lord, why me? Why in the world? Because he has given me unmerited favor. And he knows the end from the beginning that we will accept God. He knew that there was something about this woman. Look, that thou should have taken knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger.
Yeah.
Now watch what Boaz said. Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me. By revelation, Boaz knew who Ruth was. Now watch. That all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. I was telling you before last Sunday. Listen, unmerited favor is what God does, not what you do.
Right.
But listen, you do have something to do.
Right.
Because if you don't and you say, well, it's just me and I can go do this and I can sin all I want to, that's greasy grace.
Right.
That's not God's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. And you say, well, the prophet tells us many times, there's nothing you have to do with it. We know that. But it is a lot what we have to do with
right,
it.
Right.
God knows what we'll do with it before we do it by predestination, predestined journey, by foreknowledge, not just by a set time and a set place, and this is what it's going to be. Because
right.
Like I said before, God would love to give grace to the whole world, but he knows the whole world will not accept that grace. A pardon is not a pardon unless it's accepted as a pardon.
All right.
And Boaz answered and said to her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. And that thou hast left thy father and thy mother. You've left the world.
Right.
And the land of your nativity. In other words, your first birth.
Right.
And art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work. And a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.
Right.
All right? So now let's go to the Next lady in the Bible that found grace in Esther 2 verse 16. Now watch this. So Esther, we know the story of Esther that, you know one thing's for sure. She was the queen, but she had to be called or summoned to be able to go into the court or it was death. If the king didn't put out the sepulcher, all right, the scepter, then she would be killed. It doesn't matter if she's queen or not.
Right.
Amen. But now remember, he loved Esther.
Oh, yeah.
He loved Esther. He had loved her from the beginning, from the first time he saw her, he loved her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women.
Yeah.
Esther being a type of the bride. He loved her above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. How about that? So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And we know the whole story, we've been through it, of the book of Esther. But look what happened later on when she had a dire need to save her people, that she said, I haven't seen the queen and the king in 30 days. He has not called for me. In other words, the call's not come for me to meet the king, but I'm going in anyway. And if I die, I die. If I live, I live. And what happened when she walked in, the king saw her, hadn't seen her in 30 days, and that was the woman he loved. Jesus hadn't seen us in 2,000 years.
Right.
Amen? He hasn't physically looked on us in 2,000 years, but when we enter the court and not put on the world apparel, the Bible says she shunned all that, and they tried to put this on her, tried to put, kind of like David, they tried to put this on him, and they tried to put, and he said, no, I'm going like I am. She said, I'm going like I am. If I live, I live. And that's the way we should be, not just with the message of the hour, but with Christianity.
Right.
To find grace in the eyes of God doesn't take this message.
Right.
But it does take you up that statue of a perfect man.
Right.
It takes you, it makes you a mature Christian.
Right.
That's what we want to be. That's the call of this hour, is not just to be Christians, it's to be mature Christians.
Right.
Know what God wants. Know what God wants before He even asks it. That's what He said. Psalms 84 verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. There's no one, like I said before, man cannot develop this word called grace. It had to be a divine person that could see the end from the beginning to give grace to a group of people, unmerited favor and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. Like I said before, we're not a church of do's and don'ts. But if you get the new birth, a lot of that gets taken care of.
Right.
You can preach hair and this, and we've heard hair and dress for 50 years. And the women still do it, and the men still do what they do. But I promise you, if you get born again, you won't do that.
Right.
Okay? So I'm just as plain as I can be. Women, if you're cutting your hair, wearing makeup, and doing the things the prophet said not do, you're not born again.
Right.
And you're going to meet God that way. Same way with men. Men, we do things that we're not supposed to do. You're going to meet God with that. And you're not going to meet the prophet. You're going to meet God with it.
Right.
Now we know, and I'm going to develop this on in further, because remember, we had to come to a place that we needed a grace of marriage and divorce that had to be given to us by an individual man, a prophet. Right? Amen? A prophet had to give us grace, but it wasn't his grace. He was extending God's grace. He was extending the sepulcher. When we entered into this last church age, to give us a grace of marriage and divorce, not just for our fleshly marital problems, but for our spiritual marital problems. Because a lot of people are still married to their old husband, or even just divorced him or put him in a closet, No, the Bible says your husband needs to be dead. That's what the prophet was trying to tell the people. Your whole husband needs to be dead.
Right.
If your old husband is dead, you're free to marry.
Yeah, sure.
Only in the Lord.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Right.
Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We've seen that, haven't we? My son, hear the instruction. That's his Father's Day. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Many times we look at the Ten Commandments, which the world has made them 10 suggestions, not 10 commandments.
Right.
All right. It's just 10 suggestions. Same way in the Message, there's a lot of quotes that they just want to suggest that you listen to or you want to quote. So, but anyway, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. You and I are, Brother Branham said, we're robed with unmerited grace,
right.
Unmerited favor.
Right.
So like as Brother Ronnie was, we had a little service there on Friday afternoon for all us young kids. All us young men. And that's what we got to do. We got to make sure we do the right thing. We're men. The men, we have to carry the gospel. The women can't carry the gospel. And if Satan can mess us up from the beginning, see, we go past that grace. We come out from under that unmerited favor. And it becomes greasy grace. And you see people double married, triple married, trying to preach in the Message. And it's just not going to happen. It ain't going to work out. God cannot go over his word.
Right.
And make it well.
Right.
You know what? Well, it'll be all right. No, well, it won't be all right.
Right.
A well's a deep subject for shallow-minded people.
That's right.
Ain't that right, Louise? Hey, buddy. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Even in the Ten Commandments, it tells us to honor our father and mother that your days, remember that's the only one with, the first one with promise in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother that your days may be long on the face of the earth. Amen. We see a lot of kids out in the world that die very young. Why? You don't know. Maybe they dishonored their mother and father. They're not doing what God said to do. And I've seen people that live long lives because they've always honored their father and their mother. See that? Now that's in the Bible.
Right.
Amen? That's in the Bible, so we don't need to get rid of that. It's not a suggestion.
Right.
Kids, us, all of us.
Amen.
For they shall be an ornament of grace. In other words, what do you do with an ornament? You wear it.
Yes.
You wear it and show the world.
Amen.
Now the problem is we try to show the world that we're up here. And we're better than them people out there. Now that's not God. That's not God. Now we were talking about last Sunday about the Son of Man. If we're supposed to act like the Son of Man, the Bible says that the Son of Man was not, you know, Jesus told him, said, well, you know, they said, well, that's just the carpenter's boy. That's Joseph's son. He's a wine bibber. We think he drinks a little too much wine. He hangs around with whores and he hangs around with sinners and all that. And they asked Jesus about that. And what did Jesus say? He said, a prophet doesn't have honor in his own country. They don't honor him because he's just Brother Bill. He's just Brother Sam. He's just Brother Wade. He all these different things. And we were talking about that yesterday afternoon. The Son of Man was humble. The Son of Man didn't carry his Bible like Brother Branham. He didn't wear belt buckles and all that stuff. I thought that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the Son of Man in the end time. We're not supposed to have to shout. We're not supposed to have to scream at demons. Jesus talked to them. And that's what the Son of Man did. That's the Son of Man, folks. We got to get out of Pentecost. We got to get into the Son of Man ministry and act like Him. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the Son of Man.
Right.
If that ministry is to come back in the end time, there's our grace. Our grace is that he saw that we would accept that Son of Man message and not turn it into a Pentecostal revival.
Right. Right. That's right.
Just saying. Let's read this right here in Zechariah and then we'll be done. Musicians, get ready to come. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Listen to this. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who out there, O great mountain? Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the end time. We're talking about Zerubbabel coming and you know, getting the foundation swept off and be able to build this mountain we call the statue of a perfect man. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone. Now, who is the headstone? That's the Son of Man.
Amen.
That's what the ages have lost. That's what Brother Branham, they couldn't understand why he was preaching the way he was preaching, and they turned him down because they turned Jesus down in the same way. And they'll turn you down. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying what? Not just graves. Thank God he sent us a prophet to say, listen, if God says something twice, you better listen. When Jesus said, verily, verily, he said, you better listen to what he's saying. Shouting what? Unmerited favor unto it. Sister Hattie Wright didn't have to do anything. She just believed what the prophet of God said. And he said, whatever you ask, that's what you'll get. Unmerited. He didn't say, now Hattie, you don't have no money, you don't have this. And he ain't mentioned all that. You got a sister that's in a wheelchair. He said, she asked the greatest thing.
Right.
And God gave grace to two boys that had not had grace before through their mother interceding. Listen to this last one and we'll close right here. Musicians, get ready to come. Zechariah 12 verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David. Now, what is the house of David? Jews, not Gentiles. Because remember, this Zerubbabel crying grace, grace unto it, it was to rebuild the temple, rebuild and restore worship to Israel, but a type is to do the same thing with me and you, as Elijah did on Mount Carmel. He restored the altar and turned them back. He didn't turn them back, but he said, Lord, that I may turn them back. Well, that's what the message of Elijah was to turn the hearts back to the faith of the fathers. And that's what happened to us in the first part of his ministry. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of what? Grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. What are you saying, Brother Wade? Listen, our grace that we get, the grace that we have is going to take us in a rapture.
All right.
But it's not going to finish. It's going to go to Jerusalem and under the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks where the sixfold purpose is to happen. That sixfold purpose is to extend grace to Israel according to Zechariah, and I will pour out upon the house of David, because you can't do it now. Because he's dealing with Gentiles. He can't deal with the Gentiles and Jews at the same time.
Right.
But he's going to pour out upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Everybody got that?
Amen.
So the grace that we get is going to be extended right over there to the Jews, and they're going to get a 3.5-year ministry of grace from two prophets after we're gone, but grace will be extended to them, because right now, look what he says. He says, look, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. Those two prophets, come on musicians, are going to preach so much grace that they're going to say, where did you get those scars? He says, in the house of my friends. And God's not going to destroy them. He said he wouldn't destroy them. He's not going to destroy Israel. He's going to redeem her back, but not redeem her back as bride, because you can't have two brides at the same time.
Right.
Amen? So God bless you. Think of that. Grace is unmerited favor. You say, well, now Brother Dale's been telling us it's nothing we do. Yeah, it's nothing you've done, but it has a lot to do with what you do.
Amen.
Right. Everybody got that?
Right.
Because say, well, now I don't have to go to church. I've got the message of the hour. I'm about this full with it. You know, I've got every quote, and I know every book, and I know what Brother Dale's going to preach next week, because he preached it last week. So I think I'll just stay home. Yeah. Well, now, that's not grace.
Right.
That may be greasy grace, but that ain't grace.
Right.
Grace is unmerited favor from God, as he saw what you would do with the word that he gave you.
Yeah. Right.
When he sees what you do with the word he gave you, not Bob, not Brother Bob, he gave me and he gave you the word, individual word that he gives each one of us. Because listen, grace is not for a crowd except, hold on, Israel. It's for 144,000, for a group. Gentiles, it's individuals.
Right.
Amen. Amen? Unmerited favor for individuals as a Gentile bride. But now remember, he saw who would, and he saw who wouldn't by foreknowledge.
Yeah, right.
So therefore, then he could predestinate, because he predestinated by what he saw.
Right.
You do. Amen. When you got here.
Yeah.
Amen? God bless you.
just something about that name. Oh, he's my master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something
let's all stand and just worship him, invite him in this morning.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, oh,
we just bless your name this morning.
Let all come thin about that name. He's my master. Oh, my Savior.
This morning,
oh Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, for kings and kingdoms shall all away, but there's something about that name.
Let's sing it once more.
Oh, Jesus, yes, Jesus, Jesus,
the name above all names,
for there is something.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Something about that name, the name above all names. We come to worship him this morning. You may be seated. How many is glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Just have a good rain shower last night, very relaxed, and everyone had a wonderful vacation and coming back to just join each other in their faith to praise him today. Amen. Let's turn to page 206 in the Spiral Songbook, if you have it near you. It's one thing we don't want. We don't want him to pass us by this morning. We want to call upon his name. He knows every need, but he wants us to call upon him this morning, that we can, by faith, believe that he has something for us this morning. Amen. Oh, pass me now.
Yeah.
your faith touch him this morning.
See everybody here in the house this morning. I'll say it once again. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day to my father in the ministry and the mother. Just glad to be here, folks.
Amen.
Glad to be here. If it wasn't him, I wouldn't be here. But it's all him. And we're going to read this morning from Colossians 2, 1 through 10. I was going to read Psalms 84, but Wade got it, so... That's okay. There's plenty of word to go around. And as we go to the word, let's just go to the author and thank him. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for giving us the opportunity once again to come and gather around your word in a world that's so messed up out there, Lord. And you know, there's one thing this morning speaking to my heart, Father, about that the little things we do is what matters now. The little things. We've had the word brought to us, Father. We have no excuses. Not in this place. Because the word is here. It's been brought to us. It's been delivered. You put a pastor here that would bring the word, and he has brought it. We thank you for it, Father. So let us now, as our duty as Christians, to manifest this word totally and completely and be our place in this bride of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for just being here again, and because there are those that couldn't make it here today. And I ask you to touch and bless each one. You know who they are. I could stand here and list them. But, Father, you know, the ones that belong here, Father, let them come in and bring them back. We ask in your name. And, Father, we thank you for your word just coming forth now. And let us read your word. Let your word come to us by revelation. And thank you for these preachers that's going to be here today. I ask you to bless them and bless their ministry that they bring. And let them speak those words that you placed on their hearts, come across those lips you made of clay. Let us be attentive, Father, and enjoy each one's fellowship. We ask these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we go to Colossians 2, if I can find it here. One through ten. For I would that ye knew what great comfort I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as I have not seen my face in the flesh.
That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and in all riches of the fullness of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ.
Amen. In whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge? For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him.
Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, amen, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Beware of this.
For in him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Thank you for the opening reading of the word. You may be seated.
Let's keep it elevated. Even Christ and walking in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother John, would you come and lift up the morning tithes and offering? For us this morning.
Let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you for the honor, Lord Jesus, to be in your house, yes. Lord God. We just invite you, Lord Jesus, to bless your children this morning. Take our minds off of everything, Lord, and let you, Lord Jesus, really just be in your presence. Bless our brother, Lord. Use him in a mighty way this morning, Lord. And that's so, Lord God, speak to our hearts. Father God, you know the need here, so you can be. Bless him.
Amen. If the brothers could pull up this song, Awesome in the Place, in the back there on the screen. You know, I was thinking about this song. We call this area here the sanctuary. And we come in here and we worship the Lord, but there's another place in here. And it's when that individual believer enters into his sanctuary,
that's right,
yeah, into his presence.
That's right.
When the word is going forth,
amen,
you come to face to face. He just opens up the soul. You block out all your family, your jobs, your problem, and it's just you,
amen,
and God in here. And it's such an awesome place. Amen. We're going to learn this new song this morning. We'll just start with the chorus. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. And you are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. And you are awesome in this place, mighty God. Just sing it once more to him. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. And you are awesome in this place, Abba Father. And you are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place. Let's just worship him. Sing it once more to him. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. And you are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. And to you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. Oh, I look upon your countenance, I see fullness of your grace. I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Let's sing that verse again. Oh, as I come into your presence, oh, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. Oh, I look upon your countenance, I see fullness of your grace. I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, you are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Just worship him now. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. Just tell him how awesome he is. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty. Let's all stand. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. Bless you. Oh, you are awesome in this place, Abba Father.
Truly, this is Father's Day, isn't it? Because we know who our Father really is. We know all about him. He's taught us. He's bringing us. And it's not like me. My father passed when I was about 4 years old, so I never knew anything about him, never relations of any form, you know. But see, it's not that way with my Heavenly Father. He keeps contact. He makes sure everything runs good. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We had a wonderful time there the other few days. I hope that everybody enjoyed theirself. The women went one way. We went the other way. And we had a good time fellowshipping and all like that. I just appreciate you coming and being part of it. Appreciate everybody that was working and doing and all. Appreciate Wade taking over and doing the food, doing the cooking and all, and it was wonderful. We had a good time fellowshipping together. And all like that, I hope Brother Chris and Brother Ronnie enjoyed being down with us and just to take part of our lives and just be with us for a little bit. Because it's our part, right? Amen. So let's just sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart as Brother Chris Long comes to minister the word of the Lord. And remember now, Brother Ronnie will be bringing this afternoon.
Amen.
So we have a father-son situation existing in today of the service, right? So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Chris comes to minister unto us.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
Is that your desire? Then you'll see it through the opening of the Word.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I
just glad for them to be able to come be with us.
Let's see him this morning, shall we?
Yes, amen.
Amen. You really want to see the Lord?
Amen.
Does everybody really want to see the Lord?
Yes.
Well, just turn to your side and shake your brother or sister's hand, because that's the plan of God.
That's right.
God. To see the Lord in your brothers and sisters, which are his attributes, his children. God bless you, my friend. Amen. Brother Donnie, God bless you, friend. Thank
you,
man.
Buddy.
Love you too. Oh, it's so good to be here.
Amen.
I don't, if I had a home away from home,
there you go, buddy.
This would be it.
Yeah, that's right, man.
This would be it.
Yeah.
We sure love y'all, and we just appreciate the Lord. I want to thank, of course, Brother Samuel for inviting us and then putting up with us there at the little camp out. I really enjoyed that. I'll tell you that. I do want to thank you, Brother Wade, for doing all the work, cooking the food. The brothers helped, but Brother Wade was right there with his sleeves rolled up and having a good time. I want to thank the church. Thank you all for providing for such a nice time and for letting us be here with you. And happy Father's Day to all you fathers. It is a real privilege to be, of course, a father. It's part of the plan of God. And then to have Brother Ronnie here and his wife, Elise, and the family, it's wonderful. My wife texted me just a minute ago and said, please greet the church. And she loves to come and be with you. It just didn't work out this time, but by the grace of God, the next time that we come, she'll be with me.
Amen.
You love the Lord.
Amen.
I know you do, but let's get into the message, if we could, this morning.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to quit saying that I'm not long-winded, because I've been coming long-winded.
Yes.
But not like some, but and this message this morning, it in a roundabout way, it's a Father's Day message. I was meditating on what the Lord would be pleased for me to bring, and it just seemed like it kept rolling back to a series that I had just got done with at home, and I entitled the series "The Dragon Slayers."
Yeah. Amen.
Today they want to train a dragon, but the Bride of Christ.
Amen.
Destroys the dragon.
Amen.
We train the dragon to be in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That's how this works.
Yeah.
The beast at the beginning.
Amen.
And the beast at the end.
Amen.
And the death of a star.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Those are the titles that I give the message at home. And the last one is, the war in heaven was not with sticks and stones.
Right.
It was not with swords and knives and guns and balls and chains. It was with words.
Amen. Yeah.
So if you would, take your Bible and turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. We'll just get rolling this morning if we could. Brother Samuel didn't have any idea what I was going to bring and what was in my notes. But boy, we were talking about these things last night, Brother Samuel. He's just opened up, and I tried to be as quiet as I could. Because we were talking about judgment. We were talking about angels. We were talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And lo and behold, this morning, that's not part of the message. When you got Revelation 12, say amen.
Amen.
We'll just start reading from verse 1. You know, you could read the whole chapter, and we'll read bits and pieces of it throughout the message, but let's start with verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red, the copycat. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And that is how long? That's 3.5 years if you use the Jewish calendar. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. You know why it says it like that? Because his angels fight amongst one another also. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice, a loud voice, saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the reading of your word, and we're asking now, Father, as you had given it to us under inspiration, that you would permit it, Father, to flow out this morning, Lord, from my mouth. Use this vessel, Lord, I pray, to speak to your children, Lord, and all that will listen. Let it be your word and only your word, Father. Let it be received under the inspiration it was given, Lord. For he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. We ask for your help and your guidance now. In the precious and the lovely and the wonderful name. The name given above every name, Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's a, like I say, it's a real joy to be here with you this morning. And I'm just thankful and thankful. So we can see now. I'm going to tell you where I got the inspiration for this. If it's all right, I'm going to take my time. If that's okay, I don't want to put you to sleep, but you know, the world, the cosmos and everybody that's living in it and on it, has sort of been in lockdown. Now, of course, we realize as that started at the somewhere near the beginning of last year. What a lot of people don't realize is that this thing that they're giving the title COVID and coronavirus has been around for since the fall. Did you know that? It's not new. But what happened was, people that believe that they had been given the authority, and by the way, they were unauthorized, to break into God's laboratory and to start messing around, thought that they could put together something that they could use to control the people. Now, did that work out? They almost got it done. I mean, really, they are controlling a lot more people than they were before the virus was let out. Now, when I'm speaking to you this morning, I want you to understand I am not demeaning or impugning anybody's faith. Of course, we lost loved ones due to this catastrophe, this plague, the virus, and so forth, because it was something that Satan, of course, here is trying to employ to take away the authority of God and his word. And I'm going to tell you how he's trying to take that away. He's trying to take that away. He can't take it from God. I think maybe we heard that in Bible study this morning. Can't take it from God. But he's trying to destroy the heritage of God, the attributes of God, the children, the brothers and sisters that make up that heritage. You see, he can't touch God. But he thinks he can get us. I got news for him. Because Michael and his angels fought. Now you might say, well, that was something that happened in heaven. Well, if you'll read your Bible, you'll find out that that war that started in heaven got thrown down here to the earth. Which really, if you really understand God's word, makes it much better. It's very difficult to fight an enemy you cannot see. Just like people find it hard to serve a God they cannot see. But here we are in the tangible, in the three-dimensional, and I don't know whether you realize it or not, but we're in war. This is not a picnic. This is not a cakewalk. There's a young lady at our home church that asked me about getting baptized a few weeks ago. So I decided to speak on it last Sunday, and I said, sis, I know your desire is to get baptized, and we're all for you. But let me tell you something. The war is going to start as soon as you come up out of that water. Let me tell you, this is not a cakewalk. This is not a picnic. This is a battle. But we're equipped for this battle. God would not put us out on the battlefield without the tools to implement not just a fight, but victory. We will be victorious because He is victorious. You love Him? So I got this inspiration, and I know this sounds strange, but I'll just be real honest and blunt. While I was at some camp meetings, tent meetings, I guess you'd say, in Virginia here a couple months ago. Brother Sean Martin put those on and his congregation, and they were wonderful. I noticed something, though, that I hadn't noticed in years. Been many years since I noticed it, because people were all, they were locked down and they were caged up and they were bound. Well, there was a freedom there that I had not seen in years. And what really got a hold of me was the fact that the Lord began to deal with me and speak with me about how that we're in a battle and that He's going to try to keep us captive. He's going to try to keep us bound. But we know that the message of the hour tells us that He did have the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine this now? Imagine this statement that the devil had the Holy Spirit bound. Well, the devil really wasn't the one responsible for binding the Holy Spirit. The devil was the one responsible for bringing God's children into bondage, and by that, he could bind the Holy Spirit from working through God's heritage. So God decided it was time, and in the 20th century, He allowed a man to be born, and that He was going to use for one purpose, and that purpose was to give freedom to the heritage of God. That man's name was William Marion Branham. Now, the words that we have in our end time message, as we call it, and as we've come to know it, are not the words of William Marion Branham.
No, that's right. Amen.
Get that straight right now this morning. Amen. They are the words of God through the man. We do not lift the man up. We lift the God in the man up. I want you to get that, because it's going to become important when you're in battle.
Yeah, right.
It's not you doing the fighting.
No,
God said, step aside, children. If you believe me, I will fight your battles for you, and they will be victorious every time. But you see, you have to have the right attitude. In honor of Brother Ernie Villanueva and the thousands of quotes and cliches that came out of his mouth, which were wonderful, the one that comes to me and stays with me most often is, your attitude determines your altitude. Now, we live in the age where we believe in a rapture. And we've been given the information from God through the prophet that in this age, there is a requirement that was not required of any other age. And that requirement was rapturing faith. He said it will take greater faith. Can you imagine? We look back at the patriarchs in the Old Testament, beginning with Noah, and Enoch, and then Abraham, and Moses, and Isaiah, and you just go down the line, and Daniel, and the three Hebrew children, and the disciples. And we say, wow, man, did they have a tremendous amount of faith.
Yes.
And they're looking at us today going, come on, come on, you can do it, come on, because You are causing us, listen now, to be imperfect.
Amen. Come on. Preach on.
Because they, without us, cannot be made perfect. Do you see the responsibility that lays upon our shoulders, brothers and sisters? That's why we're not playing church. This is not a religious ceremony. These are the words of the living God mandated to become manifest in somebody's life. Why not you? It could be you this morning. You say, you don't understand, brother. I understand. I'm in the same battle you're in. It's the greatest battle ever fought. And the way that I like to say it, not to take away from the title that the prophet give, but after you study what he said, it's the greatest battle ever fought. Because this all took place in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Then God decided to condescend from the invisible to the visible. And the way he started to do that was he began to emanate himself from a point of light. Now, it's a supernatural light, the prophet says in questions and answers on Genesis, that can only be seen with a supernatural eye. So don't be looking for God through your natural eyes this morning. You want to look through a supernatural eye. And the way you get that eye is you begin to hear the word. Because the hearing of the word brings about faith. And God predicated his entire plan on one entity, and that is faith. And faith is something for which you believe in. Listen careful now. This goes against everything that we're taught. Faith is predicated upon belief in something in which there is no proof. Can I read something to you?
Go ahead.
I know I got it here. You just bear with me. In the message, Power of Transformation, listen careful. 10:31-65, paragraph 136-7, Brother Branham speaking. When I go home this time, I want you all to know he never made it to Jeffersonville. But listen to how he says it. When I go home this time, I'm preaching on the subject, the trail of the serpent. The beast at the beginning and the beast at the end. And trail him right through the Bible and show how he heads up. See? And you all get that on the telephone, you see, if the Lord permits us to do it. And now just watch now. How cunning, watch how cunning that fellow is. How he's well, they're just like Judas and Jesus there. Both brothers in their tribe. Just like Esau and Jacob. And like the crow and the dove sitting on the same roost. And everything is a twin. In this great warfare that we're in. It'd be so close. The two spirits would be so close. They will look like identical twins. And if you're not familiar with identical twins, listen close. They have the same DNA. But there is something that separates them. You say, yeah, well, one might have a mole or one might have a widow's peak or one might. I'm going to tell you that in the Human Genome Project, they've discovered what separates an identical twin. They have the same exact genetic strings. Listen careful, but some of them are not lit up.
Amen.
in one of the twins. I know it sounds strange. Some of them are darkened. They can see the string, but watch now. There's a gap here, there's a gap here, there's a gap here, and there's a gap here in this long DNA string, and they are dark spots. Blemishes. If you're following me. Right? Listen now. The enemy uses deception like he did to Eve. Oh, God has said. Oh, now it's a quote-a-thon. Surely, but surely. See, trying to reason it beyond what God said originally. And what did he originally say? Thou shalt die. See, he said, yes, God said that. Watch the devil now. Watch how close it is. But surely, see that spray over it? See? But what God says, God keeps. I like this part. He don't need any help from Satan. Because Satan's going to try to help it. He keeps it, see? So don't never be deceived by that. Now we notice then that it brought forth of its kind. Now in Genesis here we find out after the spraying of this poison of knowledge. Now science is knowledge. You want to see modern events made clear by prophecy? This was preached in 1965. And what is the mantra coming forth right now because of what men have done to this world? All we hear is science, 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 science. Ain't it the truth? Come on. Follow the science. Believe the science. Did you know that the prophet of God said science is the devil's religion? God of this evil age. It's nothing but Satan trying to figure out, listen careful now, how to be a creator. But because he can't create, everything he touches eventually becomes a perversion. He misses it somewhere. Right? The great subject in school. Science. Today, a better automobile. A better this, a better home, a better house, a better this, a better that. What are we doing? Dying all the time. Created an audible will. Listen to what he says. We quit walking. Listen, I'm going to take it down to right now. That cell phone you got, you can't remember your own phone number, let alone anybody else's. But back in the day when the telephone first come out, you had to remember all kinds of stuff. Area codes and phone numbers and who they belong to. Now people, I say, what's your phone number? I don't know. I got to look it up. See how it's going? It's weakening humanity. Now, I'm not preaching against your gadgets. I'm just learning how to use them myself. But I want you to understand how the enemy operates because we're in a battle. And listen, God has called upon a group of people. And we happen to live in the day when that group of people exist to slay the dragon. That's our responsibility. And by the end of this morning's message, we'll find out how it is to be done. I love God's word.
Amen.
It's the best. Dying all the time. Created an automobile. We quit walking. We quit walking. We would turn to blubber. Well, we don't have man anymore. I mean, look at the time we live in. We have jellyfish. Quote, unquote.
Yep, that's right.
Now, I read that because the beast at the beginning is the beast at the end. So let's turn to Genesis 3. I know you all know these things, but I'd like to have a solid Bible foundation for them. And in Genesis 3, it begins to speak about the beast at the beginning.
Amen.
Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. How many knows what the word subtle means? It's crafty, sly, which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, this serpent, this beast could talk. And he could talk in the language that Eve, the church, understood. And he said unto the woman, yea. That's right. Let me quote it to you. And God said, ye shall not eat of every tree. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Question?
That's right.
Huh? See how he approaches? He's not making a statement. He's asking a question. And the reason he's asking a question is because he wants to see where you're at.
Yeah, right. Amen.
And the church, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent, who's the beast at the beginning, said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Oh, come on. He's a good God. He loves everybody. Yes, he does. I believe that with all my heart. But the prophet of God defined the word love for us. It's not mishmash and mush. It's not slobbering all over one another. It's not buying toys and trinkets and diamonds and jewelry, which we think is love. You know? The boy won't be quiet. Buy him a toy. What did Brother Branham say? Spoiled Billy Paul to the max. Where did he find him? In the backyard with a stick and a spoon. Had all kinds of toys. Why? Because the attention span only lasts so long. Watch this devil now. Watch this serpent. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Brother Branham said he was preaching the truth right there. He was telling her what the results were going to be of not keeping God's word. And look at the mess it has caused. We may know good and evil, but somehow we don't know the difference between good and evil. And when the woman saw, the word saw means to understand that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. I'm going to tell you right now. Can I tell you this? It's why pornography is so popular. It's pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired, to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And what happened? And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Now here's the beast at the beginning. And Brother Branham was on his way home from the West, stopping along the way and preaching one message after the other, like the rapture and so forth. And he never made it home. But he had every intention of going home and preaching what he called about a 4-hour message, trailing, you know, because he was a guide. And a guide knows how to look for sign. So he was going to take all of the signs that the serpent left from Genesis and take us all the way through the scripture to the book of Revelation, where the beast rears its ugly head. Now, do you know how it got there? It got there through the fall of Rome. Did you know that? Now, a lot of people are always squalling, especially in this message, about the Catholic Church, about the Catholics, and about the Pope. Well, I can tell you right now that we love every Catholic person. There isn't one Catholic person we don't love. Now, they're trapped. They don't know it, but they're in bondage. Because they have decided to step out on the trail that this serpent left. Now, there would not be a Catholic Church. By the way, there's no way that Peter could have been the first pope. And some people say, well, yeah, that's because he wasn't in Rome. That ain't got nothing to do with it.
Nope.
Catholic Church didn't come into existence till about 350 A.D. Peter had been dead for about 300 years. So there's no way he could be the Pope of the first Catholic Church. It got its beginning through politics. Look where we're at, brothers and sisters. I don't stand behind the pulpit and preach on politics, but I want everybody to know there's two horns on that one head. And one of them is ecclesiastical, which is religious, which is church, which is the Bible in a perverted form, which is even the message in a perverted form. Now, you can't pervert this Bible and you can't pervert this message, but you have to have some place to begin. And that's where Satan, the beast, put his dirty hands on God's heritage.
Amen.
We were to come forth from this word, whether you realize it or not.
Amen.
That's why Jesus had to be born of a spoken word.
Amen.
And although that word was spoken by God through the mouth of an angel and then recorded in written history without the faith of one woman named Mary, without the faith of a church that existed at the time of the fulfillment of that word, nothing would have happened. It was 800 or 740 years from the time Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive, until a person came along, Mary, a type of the church, came along and decided it was time. I can do this. Why can't I be one just like all the other women have thought they were the one? Are you beginning to get it? Oh, we're in a battle. And that battle is going on right now in this building in your spirit. And it is battling your soul for possession. Did you realize that? You say, no, brother, I'm one with God. If you were, you'd be like Enoch, and you wouldn't be here. I got enough sense to know that it's going to require the mystical body coming to perfection one at a time, one at a time. But when a person comes to perfection in the mystical body of Christ, they are the most humble, most peaceable, most loving, most kind, but not a jellyfish now. Oh no, they didn't get to where they're at by being a jellyfish. They got there by being a soldier in the army of the Lord. You still with me this morning? Let me read one more thing to you, if I could. I like to give confirmation. In the message Power of Transformation, Prescott, Arizona, 10/31 of 65. When I go home this time, I'm preaching on the subject, the trail of the serpent, the beast at the beginning, beast at the end. Trying to do God a service without it being His will, 11/27/65. Now when I speak, paragraph 86 of denominations, I'm not meaning for you to be so cruel, and no, I don't mean for you not to go to your church. Go to your church what you're supposed to do. But just don't join up with them organizations. Because one day I'll be telling you and prove it by the scripture, it's the mark of the beast. And just remember, it's the mark. I'm preaching. I wouldn't preach it in Brother Jack's church. He'd tell me, go ahead and do it. But I'm going to the tabernacle. It'll be about 4 hours long, and my subject is the beast at the beginning and the beast at the end through the trail of a serpent. Did you notice that? Through the trail of a serpent. Over here it was the trail of the serpent. All right? See, takes about 4 hours. I got my scriptures all laying out. I would have loved to have had them notes, wouldn't you, Brother Sammy? The beast from the beginning, he was the beast at the Garden of Eden, he's the beast at the end, and show that he's a religious person and a denomination that made the denomination and come right through the trail of it and prove it to you by the scriptures that it is. I didn't know that till the Holy Spirit gave it to me the other day up there. Wonder how high up he was. Ah, yeah, heavenly places in Christ Jesus, no doubt. Now, brothers and sisters, let's turn back to Revelations if we could. You just go with me to Revelations chapter 12. We're going to read a little bit more out of there, if that's all right.
Amen.
All right. I keep forgetting you got it up on the board. Ain't nobody turning their Bible. Well, I hope you can find it in the Bible, but there will come a day, Brother Samuel and I were talking, when the Bible has to be inscribed on the tables of your heart. Because I can tell you right now, they're coming to take this away. You may not realize, especially the young people that have been schooled in a certain way, and the school system has tried to bring generations of children here in the last 50, 60 years around to a, and they don't know it, around to a way of thinking that will eventually try to turn them against God and His Word. But of course the elect, the Bible tells us, will not be deceived. You still with me?
Amen.
Verse 11, where we left off in Revelations 12. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You see, the devil's a lot sharper than we give him credit for. He has knowledge that it's just a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, oh, did he get mad? He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Praise the Lord for a prophet.
Amen.
That she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. Brothers and sisters, what is water in this scripture? Peoples, nations, multitudes, tongues. Look what's coming after us. And the serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman. These are people that he's sending out to chase down you and I and try to convince us that we're wrong.
Amen. That's right.
But what does God do whenever there's a flood? He raises a standard.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. And that standard is his word.
Amen.
That he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now, come on. Let's look at this. If enough people come at you, enough of your friends and your family, enough of your co-workers and the people that you're around on a and the educational system, they send it out like a flood. Look at the media and how it's all the way it works. And it's trying to convince you and bring an element of doubt into your mind that maybe, just maybe, We could be going about this the wrong way. It's a tactic to try to convince you that maybe, possibly, and bring an element of doubt. Just one element is all it takes. And look what the COVID-19 has accomplished. Again, not taking away from the precious people that we loved and we knew that got very sick and or passed from it. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, something. If they were a believer, they're in a much better place than we are. I'll tell you that right now. But also, as the sister was telling me, perhaps it could be that God in his foreknowledge, and I don't say it could be, I say it is a fact. If they passed before we which are alive and remain, then they were meant to come up in the resurrection. And let me quote it again to you, they without us cannot be made perfect.
Amen.
Can you imagine? I want you to imagine this. Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time. Is that right?
Yes, right.
And he saw thousands or tens of thousands and maybe millions of converts.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Yes.
And it looked pretty good. They didn't have to get tired. They didn't have to go to work. They didn't have to punch a clock. They were all happy. They were just living life seemingly to what we would consider its fullest, but they were still lacking something. Through all that, even Brother Branham said, I don't want to go back.
Right.
You've got to go back.
Amen.
Eventually God honored his wish. And took him back over to that place.
Amen.
Where those people were at.
Amen.
Listen careful. Do you believe the prophets there?
Right.
I'm asking you.
Amen.
Do you believe the prophets
Amen.
There?
Yes.
Of course we do.
Yes.
Listen now. They.
Yes. Come on, brother.
Right. Without us.
Come on,
right. Including him.
Amen.
Right.
Where's Paul's group? They're there. Including him.
Yep.
Cannot be made perfect without us.
Amen.
Because God has equipped us.
Yes. Yes.
God has instilled in us something that will be able to take this battle all the way to the end.
Right.
We will be the representatives of the dragon slayer.
Amen. Amen.
Did you realize that that old devil, the serpent, we call Lucifer and Satan is a star. He's a Hollywood star. He's a music star. He's a rap star. Listen now. Let's read about it. Isaiah 14, if you've got your Bibles. See, I could preach for, 6-7 hours on this one, but I'm not gonna. Isaiah 14, if you would. You know what, brothers? Back there in the computer room, would you do me a favor and implement an app that would make that sound like pages were turning? Okay, I got it. There you go. Yeah, record that. I'm just not used to it, that's all. Right? You love the Lord?
Amen.
All right. How about if we read from verse 9? You with me? Now, if you got a Scofield Bible, what does it say in the margin above, between 8 and 9? The beast!
Yep, yeah, right.
In hell.
Yep. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming.
Mm-hmm.
It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. Oh, I always wondered where Elvis and John Wayne were.
Yep, that's right.
You can put your people in there, your generation of people.
That's right.
Even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones. They were important here. And all the kings of the nations.
Right.
All they shall speak and say unto thee, are you the guy?
Yeah.
Art thou also become weak as we?
Yeah. Right.
Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms
right.
cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? We read about it, how it happened in Revelations 12. Michael and his angels fought. See? Son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's why it's very difficult for young people today. They look at all these icons and they go, I don't know, man, our church is kind of dead. These folks over here, they got it going on. Yeah, right. You know, all these different entities from Hollywood and the music world and so forth, and right. YouTube now and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that.
Yep.
The Kardashians and so forth.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you that the Kardashians, unless they get converted, are up there in verse 9 and 10.
Right?
No offense to them. Because they are souls also. But listen. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like. He's selling himself short. Did you get it? Even his own words. I will be like the Most High. When the bride of Christ realizes that she came from God, she'll go back to God. She won't just be like the Most High. She will be part of the Most High. Don't sell yourself short. And I know the attitude of people, oh boy, that's how Lucifer got his start. No, it's not.
No, amen.
Because those people who are willing to accept that they were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, as his attributes did not have a start.
Amen.
No beginning. No end.
Amen.
You can see Satan had a beginning. Oh, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning. He had a beginning. And because he had a beginning, he could only see the stars of heaven. He wanted to put himself above the heavens. But did you realize that there is something called the death of a star? I talked to an astronomer friend of mine that I'm acquainted with that's going through college to be an astronomer. And he began to talk to me about the death of a star. You young people and some of you old people who know it, it's called a supernova.
Yeah.
It's, if it's just a regular star, guess what? It's just a Chevy Nova.
Yeah.
But if it's a great star, if it's a powerful star, it's called a supernova. And what happens is it gets so great and so powerful that its own gravitational pull begins to collapse on itself. That's how the devil got a third of the stars of heaven to believe his tale. It says T-A-I-L in Revelations 12, but Brother Branham said it's a T-A-L-E. They began to believe his story. And their faith began to erode, so much so that in the book of Jude, Jude said that they were angels that kept not their first estate. So listen, they had a God-given estate.
Yes.
But it wasn't good enough.
No. Right.
It wasn't big enough.
Right.
It wasn't pretty enough.
No.
It wasn't valuable enough. Can you imagine? And then one of God's heritage saying, I'd rather be the gatekeeper at the house of God than to sit in the seat of the ungodly and the scornful. And then the prophet of God even brought it down lower than King David. He said, I would rather be the doormat.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Brothers and sisters, if you're just the doormat,
right.
Listen careful. You have one of the greatest responsibilities in all of the kingdom.
Yep.
And you'd say, well, it doesn't sound very glorifying. Until you read about the foot wash flunky.
That's right.
Then you find out that he himself made himself the doormat at the house of God. I love that. Because he washed their feet. He's so good to us. Let us continue. I hate to get off. I want to make sure I get this part in here. This star is so powerful that it begins to collapse on itself. So the story that it told to get it there that gravitated so-called believers towards it like a flood began to collapse it into a real small, dense property. So small and so dense, they tell us, that a supernova explodes and brings into existence. It don't create nothing. But what it does is the explosion of that supernova opens a gate. And that gate is called a black hole. Now, I asked this astronomer, because the Lord was dealing with me all the time, because I was seven steps ahead of this fella as he's talking to me. But since he didn't understand what we understand, I just kept questioning. So tell me, what's on the other side of a black hole? He said, we don't know. We can only guess. He said, but what we can see with the most powerful telescopes is when this supernova collapses, explodes, and then we see what looks like a black hole because there's no light emanating from the other side of it coming through the hole. And this, the debris from this collapsed star, you see all of the believers that followed that old devil. Are beginning to swirl around like a whirlpool, like a tornado, or like when you flush your toilet. That's right. It's going into a bottomless pit. And as soon as he told me that, I said, oh, outer darkness. That's exactly what that speaks to me. That's outer darkness. Amen. And let me tell you how close we are to that. Brother Branham said when he quoted the scripture, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness, he was not referring to the cannon fodder.
No, right.
He was referring to the foolish virgin.
That's right. Amen.
That's what he said. Yes, so see how close it is?
Amen. Right. Yes,
brothers and sisters, please don't settle for foolish virgin.
No, amen.
Because if you think you're going to settle for foolish virgin, you're probably not one. Because the prophet of God said that the foolish virgin believes to the 100% of what she can believe that she is the bride of Christ. The only difference between her and the bride of Christ is she don't have oil, which is the Holy Ghost, which means she wasn't originally in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, but you were.
Amen.
That ought to make you shout.
Amen.
Do you believe that you were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world? You don't have a beginning.
Right. That's right.
You say, well, you don't know, brother. I got lots of problems. It's a battle.
That's right, brother.
God allowed his attributes to bypass their theophanies, which, by the way, are the stars of heaven.
Yeah.
So that we could, listen now, suffer? No, be victorious. See, it all depends on your attitude. And your attitude determines your altitude. If you think you're suffering, you're going to suffer. But if you say, this is a trial, this is my tribulation, this is going to perfect me, this is going to give me patience, I'm going to be the stature of a perfect man in the fullness of Christ. Then while you're being beat upon, you're smiling.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And guess what else you're doing? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm being tried like gold in the fire.
Amen.
And as soon as he's got all the dross beat out of me, he'll be able to see his reflection in me.
Amen.
I love that. I love that. That speaks volumes to me.
Amen.
All right, let me keep moving. So, this black hole, I'm calling it outer darkness. I'm not making a doctrine out of it. I just want you to know how the Lord deals with me. I can see it. And then I said, so is that all they know? Is that all they call it? He says, no. He says, some call it a wormhole. Serious? He said, yeah. I said, well, what do they mean by that? Well, they think that it's a passageway, a shortcut. In God's word, there are no shortcuts. But I'm going to preach this to you. That black hole is a shortcut.
Yeah, sure.
but not to eternal life.
Amen. That's right.
Not to eternal life.
That's right.
You still with me?
Yes. Amen.
The other thing he told me, which I thought was fascinating, and I couldn't explain it all to you. Some of you young folks that study astronomy probably could. He said, as this supernova is collapsing, every once in a while, one of them just turns into a small, dense mass about 12 kilometers in diameter, which is tiny compared to a planet or a star. It's just a giant basketball. Like a meteor. And he said, something begins to happen to it. And it goes through a transformation. And it runs through this transformation really rapidly. And it starts at the top, listen careful, at the element table. And it begins to go through the element table, transforming itself from this and from that and from this and from that and from gold and from silver and da-da-da-da-da all the way down until it gets to iron. And I found this fascinating, Brother Samuel, when this man was telling me this. He said when it gets to the part of the element table, it's passed through and transformed itself into all these different elements. Till it gets to iron. Once it gets to iron, it can't figure out how to go any further. How many knows what iron represents? Rome. It can't get any further than that. And when he was talking to me about it transforming itself from one element to the other and stopping at iron, this is what came to me. Oh, he's trying to be a creator. You see, if he could have gotten himself all the way to the bottom of the element table and even into those little elements they're trying to dig up that the computer industries, what do they call their, the ones that are like on a meteor and they're in the moon and they're looking hard for them because they need them. Okay? He can't go there.
No.
Brothers and sisters, he can't touch us.
No,
amen.
No.
You see, because our Father is the Creator.
That's true. Right.
And he didn't just run the element table.
No.
He made it.
Amen.
Amen. He made it. So you can see how Lucifer is his mindset is to try to be like God.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. How about Ezekiel 28? Mm-hmm. We got enough time to read that. Let's go there.
Go
right? We can keep reading, but I like to read Ezekiel 28 if you'd go with me there. I believe that's where it's found. In the Schofield, it says the rebuke of the king of Tyre, but we'll go down to verse 12. Verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord. Hey, did you realize that the prophet of God told us in spoken words, the original seed, that the bride will have thus saith the Lord. And the bride, because she is one with him, will also represent the Son of Man as one like unto.
Yes.
Listen careful. Yes. Son of Man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. See, she recognizes him. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. How do we know that?
Amen.
Because he got one of ours. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, diamond. That's why I wanted to see, Sister June, what you guys all got there at the gym place, see.
Oh, yeah.
Then the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast.
Right.
Here's the beginning now.
Yeah, buddy.
This is not us.
No.
This is him.
Amen.
Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Watch what you're looking for. And I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. Now I could keep reading, but I want to instill something in you. In order for you or this entity to be a worker of iniquity, you had to at one time know the truth. Because you cannot be a doer of iniquity without knowing what not or what to do.
Right.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
Because iniquity is to know and not do it, or not do it and know you should.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters.
Yep.
See how it's constantly just weeding out, if we would say that. It's thinning out.
Yes.
Less and less and less, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. He said you have no life in you. He didn't explain it.
Nope.
Prophet said he just come out and said it. Why? To thin the crowd.
Amen.
And then the crowd that he had left after he thinned them down. Of course, one of them was Judas Iscariot.
That's right.
Because it had to be so close.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. But the other 11 said, what's this guy talking about?
Right.
Cannibalism? No. They hadn't come to the revealing of the Son of Man yet. So they did not understand what he was saying. But guess what? Luke 17:30 says, in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Brothers and sisters, you and I have what it takes to be able to discern the difference and not be workers of iniquity. But be doers of the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God.
Amen. Amen.
I believe that, and that, and I'm going to tell you as I wind down here, that's what's going to kill him. That's what's going to destroy the dragon. It's not a battle like you and I think. It's a great battle. It wasn't that way. Do you know that the battle that started in heaven with Michael and his angels and Lucifer and his angels was a church service? Did you know that? Did you know that? That's right, brother. Michael got up there and spoke, and Michael had some congregational members that understood everything he said or had a revelation of what he was saying and why he was saying it, and they said amen. Now, I want to ask you a personal question. If I was the devil, if I was Lucifer, and you knew it, let's say I have my name tag, Lucifer, what's yours? And I was going to get, and you knew what you know about him. And I was going to get up behind the pulpit. Would you say amen?
Eve did.
Yes, she did. Mistake.
Yep. Yep.
You never say amen to a portion of the Word of God.
Right.
You say amen to every single word. And that's where the dragon is being slain. As long as he's got a congregation of people. And of course, in Revelation 12, it says one third. But that's not what the prophet said. In every case. I'm going to read that one. Because it would be needful for me to hurry. I told the sister that I was going to preach on angels. So let me read this first. Do I have a little bit of time, Brother Samuel? Questions and answers. Law having a shadow. 5:16 of 54. Paragraph 68. The dragon. Who was the dragon, he says? Congregation says, Satan. Satan. That's right. And what nation did it represent? Congregation says, Rome. And he had angels. Didn't the Bible say that in the last days that the ministering spirits of the devil would be like flaming angels? But if they speak not according to this, let them alone. The devil will transform his messengers into angels of light and organize right back just exactly like Rome did. That's the reason why he can't go any further than iron. on the element table. Okay? Because that's all he's been given by the Lord. He can only go this far. Brother, sister, I don't see where you could find a loophole in that. But they look for them. They're wormholes. And I'm going to tell you, that wormhole is just a fancy pants name for outer darkness. God has just got it all walled up there right here in his word. There it is. And he said he did. Now watch. And Michael, the archangel, the great one that stands in the presence of God, and his angels fought against Satan and his angels, the red dragon. Listen now. Look at the next one. And that was the church that's led by the Holy Spirit. And the angels of God fought against the organization and its angels and ministers of light. What? You mean there was an organization in heaven? That's where it all started. That's where denomination started. Do you know what the word denomination really means? If you go back to its roots, it means the value of a name. That's why for us older folks, excuse me, young people, you may not know this. But the $1 bill was called a $1 denominational note. The $5 bill was called a $5 denominational note. Now, the two most famous presidents of this country are on the one and the five. Why? You'd think they'd be worth on the $10,000 bill and the $100,000 bill, as great a men as they were. But what people don't realize is the thinking of the founding fathers, which we're not supposed to use that name. Happy Father's Day.
That's right.
Happy Father's Day to them, too. Was the fact that they realized that the common man would handle a lot more $1 and $5 bills than they'd ever see a $100 bill. So the more popular the president, what looks like the lower denomination gives his name more value. He came not to be served, but he came to serve. He came to humble himself, you see. Denomination means the value of a name. The most valuable name, the name above every name, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the reason why the love of money is the root of how much evil? A-L-L, all evil, the love, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil, because Satan wants you to value himself and you higher than God himself. Because he set out to exalt himself above all that is called God in Thessalonians, or sits in the house of God. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that God has given you the greatest value that he could bestow upon anybody? And it was by faith that he did it. It takes 100 lots to make an Abraham. God values the silver dollar higher than any denominational note there is. What does silver mean? Redemption. Because Brother Branham tells us that the plan of redemption was only written for one class, one group, one entity. And that's the elect. Everybody else that gets salvation out of this deal is collateral benefit. That's what I call it. Collateral benefit. Everybody else is collateral damage. I'm sorry if this sounds hurtful, but Brother Branham called them cannon fodder. You know what cannon fodder is? Have any of you young people ever had one of them little things on the 4th of July? You pull the string and pop, all this stuff comes out of it. That's fodder. Just floats to the ground and gets walked on and disintegrates. But not the bride of Christ. She is the true dragon slayer. And I'll just cut to the chase for time. This is how she does it. Revelations, if you would, chapter 20. God is good.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. You got it?
Amen.
Do I hear them pages turning? Well, I'm just used to it.
There it is.
Revelation 20 verse 1, and I saw an angel come come down from heaven. Now remember something, brothers and sisters. The book of Revelation is a book of symbols.
Amen.
I've already preached this here. It's our book.
That's right. Amen.
It's a specific book meant for a specific group of people. They are a prophetic class. They understand the types and the shadows that every scripture, listen now, the prophet said, and every prophecy is compound.
Amen.
Okay? And I saw an angel. And here we are thinking that we're watching television. No, I understood that an angel come down from heaven. Is that right? Like Revelation 10. All right? Having the key of the bottomless pit. I love it. Now we're thinking of a key, but the prophet of God said God does not have skeleton keys. His key is the word every time. Having the key of the bottomless pit. What's a bottomless pit? Without foundation.
Amen.
That is the reason why people find themselves in the condition they find themselves in many years down the road is because they did not receive the right foundation. Now, to your consolation, if you found yourself with the right, with the wrong foundation, Brother Branham said, tear it down. He's given you the opportunity to start over. Oh, it'll take me years. Oh no, it's the twinkling of an eye. You can be to the stature of, listen, the prophet of God taught you could be repent, be baptized in water, receive the Holy Ghost coming up out of the water and be sealed. But most of us have a battle to fight. A journey that we have to go on. A walk that we have to walk and a talk that we have to talk. Why? Because God wants to experience, and He is, through you and I, every nuance.
Yes.
Every strange.
Yes.
Even, listen now, every unbelieving thought.
Yes.
Now God doesn't take those thoughts into Him.
No.
But He understands what it means to be tempted.
Yes. Yes.
Because the Bible says He was tempted on every single
Absolutely.
Point.
Right.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's temptation.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
But what did He say?
Mm-hmm.
Not my will.
Yep.
But thine be done.
Amen.
I do nothing, He said, unless the Father shows
Amen.
Me first. Now, brothers and sisters,
right.
He didn't bypass His theophany, we did.
Yes.
But
That's
the
right.
Father is showing us.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Are you willing to
Amen.
Take it?
That's right, brother.
That's the key.
Amen.
This bottomless pit has no foundation. When Brother Branham was shot by one of his childhood friends with a shotgun in the legs and lost all that blood and went to the hospital, do you realize that William Marion Branham was falling into this bottomless pit? The same one that everyone falls into if they don't have the seal of God. But because God's right, he was lost. He was undone. But because it wasn't his time and God was going to use him, God put something in his heart. There was no mother there. There was no father. Listen, this outer darkness, this black hole, the reason it's a black hole is because Brother Brad said there's no God there. Oh, he could go there if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to, so he's not there.
No, right.
Cause he said that. There was no God there. I cried, Bob, Dad. Grandpa, Pastor.
Yep.
Oh God.
Yep.
He had no foundation yet. He hadn't started the work to build the stature of a perfect man in the fullness of Christ.
Yes.
And Brother Branham says that we can build on and on and on, and we'll get up towards the top of that stature, and we'll be tempted, and we'll be our temperance or our patience or something will be tried that's way down below, and we'll fail. Brother Branham said, you never got that sealed. Go back to that point and get that sealed. It doesn't take away from what you already have, but it does allow for that weak spot to be made strong. Still with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let me move along. Whew. You can tell I like this subject. Key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. I know a lot of preachers have preached on this. I'm okay with that. Because I'm going to preach on it.
And he laid hold on the dragon. Come here, boy.
Right.
I got you now. Okay?
Yep.
That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. See?
Yep.
See the beast at the beginning and the beast at the end?
Yep.
And bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him.
Yep.
Now it's not us getting the seal. It's us giving it.
Amen.
I'll tell you how I know it's us. Let me cut to the quick. Questions and answers. 8:23 of 64 in the morning. Paragraph 222. Now, there you are to the question a while ago. See, at the judgment seat. Here we go, Brother Samuel. Jesus, the church.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Did you realize he just said Jesus,
Amen.
The church?
Amen.
Don't that make you feel
Amen.
Good?
Glory.
Makes
Amen.
Me feel good.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes, sir.
Because Jesus and the church are one. Or they ought to be, he said. Anyhow, I believe this. That's why it excites me so much. Because I believe this is me, this is you, this is us. Now you have a choice in this. God voted for you, Satan voted against you, now you vote. And this isn't going to be a corrupt dominion voting machine. Notice the name of it, Dominion.
Yeah.
This is entirely up to you.
Amen.
Right. Nobody can interfere, but you choose this day whom you will serve.
Right?
It's a battle. Jesus, the church, the bride, was raptured, went up into glory, and was up there and was married, returned back to the earth and lived 1,000 years. And at the end of 1,000 years, Satan was loosed out of his prison. But what I got down here was, what bound him? What put him in that prison? How did he get there? He's loosed out of his prison that is bound by an angel with a chain. Not a log chain. He's meaning not a natural, big, thick, link chain. But a chain of circumstance.
That's right.
All of his subjects was in hell.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Listen now. That's why I read Isaiah and Ezekiel to you.
Right.
All that was resurrected on the earth was redeemed and Jesus with them. Listen now. This is what binds him.
Yeah.
This is what gets him thrown into the bottomless pit. And this is how you and I come into this. This is how we slay the dragon.
Right.
How do we slay him? Because he doesn't have anything. It's up there somewhere to work with.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Right.
The quote. Not that scripture. I thought they'd have it up there. They're faster than I am. Bound by an angel with a chain, not a log chain, but a chain of circumstance. All of his subjects was in hell. All that was resurrected on the earth was redeemed. And Jesus with them, he couldn't work on nothing. You see how we're binding him? We're giving him nothing to work with. Cannon fodder turns to nothing. The only thing, that's right, Brother Ronnie, the only thing he has to work with is you and me as God's heritage. That's why he approached Adam and Eve.
Amen.
How come he didn't go approach his own kind? Because
sure.
Nope. He could see. Yep. I'm going to tell you guys something that really, really fascinates me. The serpent was an innocent beast.
Sure, yeah.
But what I'm saying is,
absolutely.
The serpent, how could he be guilty?
Right.
He was an innocent beast.
Yep.
But because he cast the wrong vote, he was turned into the writhing snake.
Yep. Right.
Let me get that part. The names, dragon, means serpent. And there's a constellation. Not just the twins. Not just the virgin. Not just the cancer, the crab, not just Leo the lion, but there is a constellation of twins. And we all know that Brother Branham taught us that the 12 stations of the zodiac was the first Bible. The reason why we don't use that Bible anymore is because when the earth was knocked off its axis in the days of Noah, it could not be correctly read. But it was readable at one time. It spoke of the same things that you and I are receiving this morning. But God decided to move forward. And he allowed a pyramid to be built.
Yes, that's right.
Did y'all know that Brother Branham said that Enoch carried the blueprints?
Yep, that's right.
That's why he called it Enoch's pyramid. Not the pyramid of Cheops, and not the Great Pyramid, and not the pyramid of King Tut.
Right.
But it was a Bible.
Yep.
Now, we're not into pyramid teachings, he said.
Right.
It's also a memorial.
Yep.
That you cannot destroy.
Right.
God or his word.
Right.
Or what it stands for.
Right.
But here we are today with a paper Bible. But they're going by the wayside because I can't hear them pages turning, Brother Samuel. So it's okay. I'm making a point. So it's got to become written in your heart,
amen.
Not on a computer chip,
amen.
Not on a video recording,
nope.
Audio recording.
Right.
It's got to be engraved,
amen.
On the
yes.
tables
right.
of your heart.
Amen.
Because brothers and sisters, at the end of this battle, they're coming after us
yes, sir.
Like a flood.
Yes, right.
Can't you see it?
Yes. Amen.
But God will raise a standard
amen.
Up.
Amen.
And that standard will be his word.
Amen.
And that word is the bride.
Yeah,
because she and the word have become one.
Right.
According to the words
yeah,
of the prophet.
Amen.
There's a constellation in all of those. Listen now, there's a 13th constellation. But it's not in the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the number of this nation?
That's right.
13. What are we? We are the anti-type of Israel.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Okay?
Yes, right.
And it's called Draco, the dragon. Serpent means to creep. You want to get all the creepy things out of your life? No wonder why they call him Creepy Joe.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
amen.
I'm just repeating what they said.
Amen.
They say a lot of things.
Yeah.
The devil in Hebrew means Satan, like Satan. In the Greek, it's Diablos. What is the devil? You want to get rid of him? I'll tell you how to get rid of him. Don't give him anything to work with.
Right.
Because he's an accuser.
Yep.
Stop accusing.
Yep.
He's a backbiter.
Yep.
Stop backbiting. I got this from the dictionary. He's a slanderer. Stop slandering.
That's right.
Okay? He's set at variance. Quit becoming independent and going off by yourself all the time. This is a mystical body of Christ. You're either in the body or out of the body. If you're in the body, you're in fellowship with the rest of the body. You're not some independent, watch now, star all by itself. Because if you find yourself in that condition, Satan can deal with you. Get in as quickly as you can. How do I get in? The Bible says you're baptized into the body by the Holy Ghost. You with me? The devil means accuser, backbiter, slanderer, set at variance. It means he's an attacker.
Yep.
Listen now. The dictionary said this. As in a person's character.
Oh, yeah.
Today, Brother Branham said you don't have to literally kill somebody. All you have to do is work that mouth and begin to destroy their character.
Influence,
that's right. Take them down a little bit. Take them down. Hey, did you know Brother so-and-so? That's why it's very difficult for people like Brother Samuel and I to mention people's names. Truthfully. Because we realize what they are and who they are, but we don't want to be responsible for defining the word devil. But I do know that the Lord taught us something in the way that he handled the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Because everybody's saying, oh, let's all get together. If you want to get in together around the word, I'm in. But just getting together? Brother Branham said, God never forgave Israel for the action of just getting together. You with me? Satan means adversary. Always viewed as an angel, the dictionary said. A messenger. Lucifer, the morning star. He's light and bearing light. Watch this chain of circumstance as I finish. Let me give you one more. Questions and answers. 8:30 of 64 in the morning. Paragraph 149. No, a generation allotted in the Bible is 40 years, but the Bible said, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It will be 1,000 years upon the earth, because 1,000 years upon the earth is only counted a time for parable, like to God is one day. 1,000 years upon the earth is only one day with God, as God counting time. How many understands that now? That's found in the book of Peter, if you didn't know that. So it's that Sabbath day when the church will no more labor against sin and Satan is bound for a little season, 1,000 years, because his subject is all in hell. The church that's on earth is redeemed and right in the presence of Christ, so he has nothing he can work on. So it's not a chain, as I said, a log chain. It's a chain of circumstance. He has nothing he can do. He's helpless and hopeless, the Bible says. Just waiting for the resurrection of the subjects. That would be the second judgment, right? The second resurrection, the white throne judgment. And let me finish with this. Spoken word is the original seed. Part 2, paragraph 326 and 8. God is taking the elect out of that Pentecostal church. Amen. That hybrid, pulling it out, finishing up the word.
Yep. Yep.
Finishing up the word, that's
right.
You and me. This has already been completed. And it's got to be so close until the word itself will blend with this word.
Amen.
That's you
Amen.
And me.
Amen.
And it's got to be so close until the word itself will blend with this word. There comes the headstone crying, grace, grace, amazing grace. Did you not speak on grace this morning? The headstone. Here you are like this. See on there. He's probably pointing to the statue of a perfect man. See how it weighs way wide down here at the bottom. It keeps getting closer, closer, closer. The ministry, he says. After a while, here come Luther, justification, justified. Here come Wesley, sanctified bunch. Here come Pentecostal, restoration of the gifts. Now God is taking from there.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
Right,
buddy.
Honing out a bunch.
Yeah. Right.
If you young people don't know what a hone is, it's like a piece of sandpaper.
Right. Amen.
It's like the stone you sharpen the edge of your knife with. It's just rough enough to smooth out all the edges and put a sharp edge on both sides, and a point begins to form. You get the point? Here come Pentecostal, restoration of the gifts. Now God is taking from there, honing out a bunch to make a ministry. Brothers and sisters, don't let anybody take this away from you. When somebody tries to tell you the fivefold ministry was all in William, Mary, and Branham, you know what I could say? Well, wait a minute, Brother Wade. I could say amen, but he's not here.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
Now the fivefold ministry is in the mystical body of Christ. And you'd say, well, brother, I don't have one of those titles. You don't need one. You just need to be in the body. And take advantage of what God has instilled in that body for you and for me. To make a ministry just exactly like the word there, because it's got to fit with the word. There's the bride. Take her up. Now Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. You believe that? Now I can't explain all this. I'm just going to go through it just quickly now. Hit the high place so you won't stay too long. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's not stay too long. Quit prolonging this. Let's get to these high places. Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Is that right? Congregation says. You all believe that. That's why, what was he? God's word, which destroys the works of the hybrid, the devil. Is that right? He was done to do that. He was born to be that, to destroy the works of the devil. Now listen careful. This last paragraph is the most important one. Now his body is to do the same.
Amen.
We are the chain of circumstance. And we've all heard it. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. But I think, if I'm paraphrasing correctly, didn't the prophet say the weakest Christian? Come on his knees is stronger than any devil, than any Satan, than any Lucifer, than any dragon. We're binding the dragon right now, whether you realize it or not, by believing every word. And by taking our life and pouring it into that belief and becoming the manifestation for everything is groaning. Everything is waiting. This world is upside down, backwards, and inside out. Guess what? Mother Earth is asking for you and me. Please stand. We are the chain of circumstance. We will destroy the dragon. We will win the war of words. We will represent the death, bringing that star to its death. But remember, the results of that is a black hole, outer darkness. We can't help that. That's just the result of what God is permitting us to do, brothers and sisters. But today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I've asked for your help here, Lord, and I believe you've rendered it, Father, to try to bring that Reader's Digest version of a word that had no beginning and have no end is nearly impossible, Lord. It's like a great minister that I knew at one time, Father, many, many years ago would say, preaching the word of God is like going up a one-lane mountain road. There's no place to turn around. There's no way to back down. Father, you got to go all the way to the top if you can. Oh, Father, we're asking, Lord, that these words that were spoken, as broken as they were, Father, would be like the bread at the communion table, Lord. And just a sip of wine here and there, Father, let it be instilled in the hearts of your children, Lord, that they are a part and parcel, Father, of these things. That's our main goal, Father, is to get your children to have their eyes wide open and begin to work, Father, the works of you. For these signs shall follow them that believe. Surely we are believers, Lord, because we're here this morning. And we're willing to subject ourselves, Father, to every single word of God. We love you. We thank you. We'll be careful to always give you the honor and the glory and the praise, Father, for all that we have done, all that we're doing, and all that we will do. In the precious and the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And God's children did say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to sing one for you. I saw the light.
Amen.
Did you see the light?
Amen.
But it wasn't the light that he speaks of in 2 Corinthians, the transformation of Satan and his angels. But it's that point of light, that supernatural light that God began to become as he condescended down into our hearts.
Glory.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Let me see. You know, whatever, do you know what key it's played in? Somebody must know I saw the light.
G.
Okay, yeah. F or G. We'll start with the chorus. I saw the light, I saw the light, no more in darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Well, praise the Lord, I saw the light. Once again, I saw the light, I saw the light. Oh, no more in darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the in that old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm waving this world goodbye. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in that old gospel ship, but I'm going far beyond the sky. Yeah, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm waving this world goodbye. One more time. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in that old gospel ship, but I'm going far beyond the sky. Yeah, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm waving this world goodbye.
Amen. You gonna take a trip in a good old gospel ship? Amen. Do you enjoy the message?
Amen.
Let's give our brother a bit of that. Amen. Amen. A trip in a good old gospel ship. Well, that's what we're doing. This is the part we're in right now, right? This is the part of that that is left out of the puzzle. But it's the place, and here it is. It's Fenton. It's all done. This is the age that finishes everything. Nothing left after this age. What a wonderful thing to be. Make sure you tell our brother how much you appreciate the message. Because we believe it. We believe the word of the Lord in doing it. All right, let's just be dismissed. Then we'll get into the, go eat a little bit and come back. And then our brother will take over this afternoon ministering unto us the word of the Lord. Amen. Make sure and tell our brother how much you appreciate him. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of grace and love that we've had this day that we could, Father, sit down and just listen a little bit to what somebody else has to say about you, because you're my father, and I love to hear people talk about my father. What a wonderful father we all have. What a wonderful love and grace we have in you, Lord. And we love you. Dismiss us now. Go as we go eat a meal and come back. Be with us this afternoon to open the eyes of our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. You dismiss.
Greater is he that is in me.